This is the BBC. Hi, I'm Rhianna Dillon. Welcome to Seriously. Today's seriously interesting story comes from two men who, on the surface, seem to have little in common. Nathaniel Mann is a composer, singer, and performer. Pete Petrovicius is a former miner, and now he keeps and trains pigeons.
It's just a fascination from day one that I used to watch them fly in the sky and everything. Got to be at least 50 years now I've been keeping birds, so yeah, it's still there.
Together, they're uniting their skills to try and capture the sound of flight, bringing an ancient art to life once more. I'm Rhianna Dillon, and this is The Pigeon Whistles.
As a young lad, I used to dream how fantastic it would be to fly.
Tipplers, tumblers, do laps and races.
I wouldn't say I wanted to be a pigeon, but I must admit, I wish I could do what a pigeon could do. You know, and just take off and fly around.
Well, I'm for the birds that I possess.
Come on, then. They want to, they don't. Can you see?
These Brummy Rollers, they're the best.
Come on, then. Come on. Oh, silly.
Well, surely they're the top sky cutters of all the doves I know.
Now, be careful, because you've got Irish. He'll always want to fly out, he will.
Imagine hearing music flying around you. Imagine hearing the arc of a bird's flight described in sound. When I landed the job as composer-in-residence at the Pitt Rivers Museum in Oxford, I discovered an instrument that I'd never heard of before, and that was the pigeon whistle.
So right now I'm heading to Oxford Station to pick up Pete Petrovicius, also known as Pigeon Pete. He's my collaborator on the Pigeon Whistle project, and this will be his first time in Oxford and his first time viewing the Pitt Rivers Museum. So I'm really excited to share it with him and to show him the pigeon whistles and where this project started, basically, and the point of inspiration.
I'm a singer and a musician, but I needed a pigeon fancier to bring these peculiar whistles to life.
Absolutely tremendous, no problems whatsoever.
We're going to get a taxi now and head to the pit.
Okay.
And we're going to have a bit of chat.
Two dodgy blokes with beards in the back of a taxi.
Oh, I owned pigeon came alone with beak and eyes like turtle dove. He strayed from his flock one day and weird and turned in play.
But I must admit, when you first phoned me up, I didn't think you were serious at all. I thought, I've got a nutter on the phone. I thought, what's going on here? And I thought, it's got to be someone having a laugh, isn't it? Someone, you know, some of my mates are winding me up and everything.
So I'd promised to make pigeon whistles happen, but at the time knew very little about pigeons.
That's when you contacted the MPA, and they said, the only person we know of is Pigeon Pete in Nottingham. And then obviously they must have gave you my phone number because then you phoned me up. And then when he described yourself with his beard and he'd have a red anorak on and he'd meet me outside the train station, I thought, ooh, this sounds dodgy to me, this does. But my curiosity was so great I had to turn up. And it was the most strangest thing because Nathan was walking down the street and I was walking up the street. And this is, we both knew each other, didn't we, straight away, you know.
Who loaned him these noisy wind bells that never cease at any dawn? A pigeon tells his
No, I wanted to ask you, because it's been so long we've been talking about coming to the museum.
Okay, yeah.
What were you expecting?
I love anything that's Victorian, Georgian, old-fashioned buildings and this and that. And that's all I can see in my mind. So hopefully it's not going to be a letdown.
And have I told you about what the museum is? I can't remember if I've...
Not really.
Pitt Rivers was a Victorian general and he went round and he amassed this collection of artefacts and objects.
Oh, so it was a private collection then?
Yeah, it was a private collection. So the museum is organised typographically, and that's a word that he made up. That didn't exist before. It basically means type of thing, rather than by location, culture, time period. But
I can't wait to see the whistles and the size of them more than anything.
Hello.
Hello
there.
Are you Pigeon Pete?
I am indeed, yes, yes. Well, I've got a little badge, have
I? Yeah.
Is it shaped like a pigeon?
Unfortunately not.
My dad would love all these. Look at the pipes. Absolutely.
Were you a smoker, Pete?
Years and years ago, like, yeah. I've had a little dabble in a try of everything. I've only ever been successful with the pigeons.
I'd like to see if you can spot the pigeon whistles.
Well, if you give me 2 seconds to calm down and everything,
and
look round.
The first time I saw them, walking through the museum, and they're high above everything else.
Right then, while we're looking at this lovely, I can go... Yeah, I've spotted those up there, like.
Yeah, there are more around here. There's actually 3 cases of them.
Well, I can see some on this side as well, you see, that's what caught me eye as well.
We're in the section of the museum of the musical instruments, so we're surrounded by drums, by violins, by voice disguises from all different parts of the world. We've got a cabinet here of whistling arrows, and perched above the whistling arrows, inside case number C71B, we have a stuffed taxidermy pigeon. So pigeon whistles on display all come from China. Similar objects were also used throughout Japan and Indonesia. They were generally made from lightweight gourds or bamboo and were attached by a toggle fixed between the tail feathers. They caused no harm to the bird.
As far as I'm concerned, they're absolutely fantastic. But the museum is so vast, there's so many things to look at and everything. I personally think that a lot of people would walk straight by them. What caught your eye then? To the pigeon whistles?
Because it's everything here is arranged typographically, I knew it was a sound maker, I knew it was a noisemaker. And it was genuinely the only thing in the museum that I had no idea what it might sound like.
Oh, and that's, I'm with you, like,
and that just captivated my imagination for years. Because it works in a way that no other instrument does. Yeah. No other instruments physically move around you in space, flying overhead. And that just seemed like magic.
Oh, great, great stuff.
Some of the whistles were attached to carrier pigeons in order to protect them by disconcerting birds of prey. Others had an aesthetic role. For example, when Queen Elizabeth II visited China in 1986, a flock of pigeons bearing whistles was released in Tiananmen Square for her entertainment. And so that was kind of my dream, was to hear what the pigeons' whistles were like.
Well, that's what we're here for now, isn't it? To create the sound so people can hear them.
Exactly.
We're now, between me and you, we are bringing history back alive again. Now we're doing it.
Yeah.
And they're all different sizes. Look. Look at some of the small ones. They would come in really handy for us, wouldn't they? Yeah, born in Nottingham, like, yeah. And we used to have a place called the Cattle Market, where in them days used to sell all livestock, from rabbits, chickens, ducks. I used to always go with my dad down together, like. And there was a lovely pair of pigeons there. And I says, can I have those birds? He says, well, if you've got the money, lad, you know, if you want to spend your pocket money. So I did. So I bought them.
That went through your teenage years?
All my life. It's just a fascination from day one that I used to watch them fly in the sky and everything. Got to be at least 50 years now I've been keeping birds, so yeah, it's still there.
The day is clear, the wind is so our cheeks sing on a chilly spring morn, on a chilly spring morn.
Wait, where's everybody? He's gone.
His birds and buds are huddled up outside the door, like they're waiting for him to come home.
Over the next few months, my dog Maggie and I would drive up to Pete's home where we were doing research.
He's got some ducks as well.
Hello, are you all right?
We'll leave her in the car for now just to sort the birds out.
How are we going, mate?
I made a crude test version, sticking together bits of lolly sticks and old vinyl records and a film canister. Pete was also building up a small collection of whistles from across the world.
This is an actual Chinese whistle that a friend of mine gave me and everything that he brought back from China. So if you can imagine about 20 or 30 of those in the sky, all different sounds. These were actually Indonesian, weren't they?
These are Indonesian.
Yeah, these are Indonesian ones. You can see how beautiful they are in design and everything, and they're all... That's one sound, and here's another one.
How many tail feathers do they have, Pete?
They have 12 tail feathers.
You secure the middle two tail feathers together, and so that basically creates a slot through which the little tail on the bottom of the whistle can slide through. And then very simply it's secured with a ring.
And they just click.
One of the concerns we had was if the birds were comfortable flying with the whistles on.
Oh, yeah. Well, if they weren't happy, they wouldn't fly. Or they'd just land somewhere. They're no weight to them at all. They're a few grams. You've got some that are as big as a Jaffa orange. Not a Jaffa. Yes, actually, a Jaffa orange. And they look massive. But because they're like a shell, there's no weight in them whatsoever. Come on then.
No, Maggie. No.
Come on then. Come on then. Come on then. As you can see, I've got them nicely trained. Come on then. Come on then. Come on then. Come on then, girls and boys. What about you, Irish? Are you in the mood today? Come on.
So you've just called him to your hand?
Yeah.
And he's the only bird who'll do that?
He's the only bird so far. I nicknamed him Irish because he comes from Ireland. He's a racing pigeon and he got lost. So I phoned the chap up and everything and he says, well, if you want to, you can keep him. And I thought to myself, let's see if I can do anything with him. So I think the furthest I've took him is about 60 or 70 miles. And every time when I come back home, he's sitting there waiting for me. Absolutely amazing.
Right, let's get your rollers rolling.
Yep, let's get my rollers rolling. Come on, Irish. Come on, then.
So he knows his own name?
Oh, he knows his name and everything, believe it or not. What I do with him, I'll go walking down the road with him, and this guy turned around to me one day, and he says, why do they call you Pigeon Pete? And I says, well, watch this. And I stuck my hand up, and I went, come on, Irish. And he come and flew, and they're all just stood there in total amazement. Obviously, I'd been working up to this for weeks. They didn't know that, of course. I just fit in one of the whistles on the pigeon's tail. All fingers crossed.
We've got three prototype whistles to test, but it would be good. I know you want to fly the birds together as a group to release them one by one.
Okay.
So we can tell which is which. Would that be possible?
No problems whatsoever. No problems whatsoever on that one. I'm quite looking forward to this.
What's your honest feeling, though? Do you think it's going to work? Or?
I'm hoping it works, obviously.
Oh, that one's... You're putting it on backwards there, Pete.
Yeah, thank you.
And fingers crossed.
Are we ready, then?
Right.
Come on, my little beauty.
Pete launched the birds. The first shot away with the sound disappearing with it. The wind taking the sound with it. So we sent off another to join it.
I've lost them, Pete. Where are they?
Just there. Up there. You see them?
Yeah, they're really, really funny.
But of course they did come back, carrying their whistles behind them.
The beauty of the pigeon as well, once you've got them right and trained, the loyalty of that pigeon is unreal because it comes back to you.
Not quite what I'd hoped for. When it came to making pigeon whistles, we were a few centuries behind the Chinese and Indonesians.
Yeah, but let's be honest. I mean, see, from when we first started, it's as easy as anything to sit here and blow into these whistles But it's a totally different ball game when you attach them to the birds and you let them out.
Yes.
But we did learn something as well. The wind carries sound. So when they went round, you'd hear them one time. The other half, you wouldn't.
But we were determined to keep on working.
Well, for my input, like I say, it's... If you can get that more dead central and straight, still.
Yeah, but it's to just improve them, tweak them a bit.
Okay, yeah, fine. Fair enough, yeah. Mm.
But if you look compared to where we started...
Oh, crikey, dear me.
It doesn't sound that bad, is it?
Come summer, our whistles were delighting us, and we went on the road with our live Aeolian orchestra. We were invited to festivals across the country, Pete releasing the birds into the sky, carrying our whistles in flight, being the only pigeon fancier to have a mobile pigeon loft strapped to the back of his scooter. And I'd sing the songs I've discovered in the mysterious world of pigeons.
Tiptoe and sounder,
but my desire to create something better, a new 21st century whistle, never went away. Something that one day could even make its way into the Pitt Rivers collection.
And I could still hear my old birds flapping, coo coo, coo coo, coo coo, coo coo.
We always felt that our homemade whistles could be so much better if only we had the know-how to create proper instruments like those that had inspired us in the Pitt Rivers.
And I've got something new to tell you about.
Okay, here we go. Go on,
then. So I was digging about, searching for pigeon whistles and what have you, and having a look, and I found actually an article, an English magazine in Beijing.
Oh,
and a guy went and spent some time with some pigeon whistle makers.
Well, that sounds very interesting.
You know, because before we knew there were whistles in China, mm-hmm. and we knew there were whistles in Indonesia.
Indonesia, yeah.
And I had heard that the American military had also used whistles at some point. But there's also, I found the new thing, is there's whistles in Taiwan.
Oh, yeah.
They put the whistles on the pigeons and they race them and see who's the quickest. And then before I go, I'll show you some pictures.
Okay, brilliant. Oh, yeah.
You're not going to believe it.
I would have thought the bigger the whistle, the bigger the bird. We're doing it with totally different birds, smaller and everything, so, you know, that's what's making it a lot more difficult.
Well, the ones I've found in Taiwan, the whistles are as big as the pigeons.
Oh.
But the thing is, it's all got about the size, and now they don't care about the sound, and they don't make noise anymore. No.
Yeah, well... Sounds like a very male thing, that.
I finally hit upon the idea of using 3D technology to shape an incredibly light but tuneful whistle.
So we're coming in now to the Kaleido 3D hub. And actually this is very different from the last time I came in, because the last time it was silent in here. But this time we've got the buzzings of several 3D printers pushing out these bright colour filaments.
PLA filaments, so PLA stands for polylactic acid, and build it up, the model that you want to print layer by layer, until it's finished.
Joe Banner is a 3D whiz, and within a week of hearing about the idea, had already come up with a prototype.
It's very gently squeezing out layers of plastic in this strange choreography as it spins around the rim of what will become a whistle. Squeaking and chirping is actually very fascinating to watch it, because it's, you know, it's such a classic robot-y sound, like R2-D2-esque.
Singing, as someone downstairs calls it, of the pigeon flute.
So it's making those kinds of noises because of the shape of the pigeon flute?
Yes.
So I think there's something quite special about this. I really didn't anticipate that it was going to sound so lovely. And how long before the one that's printing out is finished, do you think?
Well...
I think we've got, what is it, 1 minute 25? Is that what it's saying? But we're coming to the final layers.
So there's some here that I didn't bin these. Some of these are rejects, in case you wanted to look at them.
Amazing, okay. So this is a prototype whistle that you printed out earlier?
Yeah, so that takes an hour.
It's a very simple design. It's a tube with a slot in the side. So as the air moves across it, as the bird's in flight, it cuts the airstream in two, and then the chamber inside of the cylinder becomes a resonator, and that's what creates the sound. Oh, is it coming to an end? So it's not too hot to touch?
No, it cools down straight away, but as you can see, around the edges, it's not printed there because it's drooped down. So that's most of it removed, and then you just remove that.
I'm really excited to see these. Can I give it a blow and see if it works?
Yeah.
So that's the new plastic 3D printed one against a bamboo and gourd Chinese one. I mean, it's definitely working. And much to my surprise, I guess I shouldn't be surprised, they sound very similar to the plastic canister ones that I created.
But this was only the first attempt.
Now we've kind of proved the principle of it, we're going to start to refine it. And now I need to think about ways of making them sound sweeter. I want them to be a proper instrument rather than something that's a bit Blue Peter, which is what I created before, by my own admission.
And we quickly learned what was wrong with the shape.
So I think I need to find out a little bit more about how the actual airflow and the shape of the fipple and the aperture is creating the timbre of the sound. Okay, this has been amazing, Joe. Thank you so much for all of your work. Sorry,
I'm right.
blowing the whistle mid-sentence. That's very typical of me, sorry.
A few weeks later, Joe had moved well beyond our test model. So now I was holding, hot off the press, the world's first 3D printed pigeon whistle, ready to test.
Christmas has come early. But a totally different design.
This is kind of the principal set.
Well, if we're going to be technical, I've got D5.
So those are the notes written on it.
A4.
Yeah. So we've tuned them up.
I do like the different colours and everything.
So they're looking pretty smart, but I think they're going to work all right.
Brilliant.
So
could be
one
out of breath in a minute. That, to me, reminds me straight away of the old-fashioned referee whistle. Yes, aren't you? Do you want the five main...
The best five whistles?
Yeah. Make a start with those and see how we go.
Yeah.
And it was finally time to try our new whistles in the sky.
Okay, I'm just going to go into the kit box now and catch a pigeon. I can't see there being a problem.
Where's Iris today?
Iris, I've put Iris in the other kit out the way because he's got a habit now of flying around for 2 minutes and dropping straight away for food.
Oh, really?
So, yeah.
He's a clever one, that one.
And the pigeon I've got here now is a pure white cumlet. And the way you can tell these birds are because they've got fantastic... Not bull-eyed or odd-eyed, but graveled-eyed. And I'm just about to attach a whistle on this one now.
What note is it, Pete?
It's D5. I'm not sure myself exactly what that is.
That's down to you, that one, Nathan.
Used to go to a school called Elliot Durham. The actual school in itself was very difficult for me because I didn't have an ounce of interest. All I wanted to do was get it over with and get down to me allotment where my pigeons were, so I could fly my pigeons. Holding a notch in it, which is beautiful. I've got that one on there. So now I'm off to get another one out of the kit box. I left school on the Friday, started work down the pit on the Monday.
And did spending 8 hours down in the darkness on a coal face. I mean, it must have been, a nice contrast to come out.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. The most beautiful thing is when you've done a day's work and been down a dark mine and, coal mining on a coal face and everything, and then when you come home and you're in the fresh air and you let these birds out and they haven't got a care in the world, they haven't got a problem, and they're flying around and enjoying themselves.
I like the idea of these new plastic rings instead of the steel ones putting on.
And then when they've had enough, not when you've had enough, when they've had enough, they'll think, boom, and they come back to you. And you just think, wow.
Fingers crossed.
Here we go, yeah. Go up.
Up and up they soared, and we followed them with our eyes and our ears. At first, high up and faint, but slowly starting to travel around us in a figure of eight over our heads.
They've joined up. I can hear the difference in sound.
Okay, brilliant.
A flying musical chord.
What I can hear different about this design to the other ones is that you can hear the flapping of the wings.
As well, like, which is nice, isn't it?
Instead of getting a continuous tone, you're getting whoa, 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 as the wings are beating. Here they come, I can hear them coming
in. Which I think's nice, yeah.
Yeah, so that's something a bit different, but...
I talk to a lot of my pigeon friends and everything, and I tell them exactly what I'm trying to achieve, or both of us are trying to achieve, and it kind of goes in one ear and out the other, you know, and a little smile on the faces. But once it's done and you hear it and you see it, you'll want to do it yourself. I'm positive of it.
Yet he circled around until Colin he's found, and he's perched on his hand with the prize as hot as he reads, with tenderness bleeds. For the pigeon, it fluttered and died.
Finally we got there, didn't we?
There was a lot of pushing and pulling, turning through, honing it, working out how to do it.
One or two racing people you asked as well said it can't be done, didn't they? They said it just can't be done.
Some people phoned me up tell me that it couldn't be done.
It couldn't be done, like. So obviously we proved them wrong on that one, didn't we?
That was The Pigeon Whistles with Nathaniel Mann and Pete Petrovicius. It was like you could hear their friendship develop through their shared dream of getting the whistles to work. Sarah Jane Hall, the producer, told us that on the evening before the final recording, Pete took in two lost racing pigeons. But the next morning, the two birds started to fight just after the pigeon whistle's flock had taken off. They were rattling the bars of their metal coop so loudly it nearly ruined every second of the recording. So what we just heard is the very few moments those quarrelling pigeons didn't sabotage. I was wondering about how they did the recordings as I listened, and Sarah told us it was incredibly hard to record, as the birds obviously tend to fly higher and higher, so getting microphones to pick that sound up was tricky. So they had three different types of mics and basically just spent a lot of time running. That's determination. The eccentric fascination of Nathaniel and Pete was so charming. That's why I love bringing you Seriously and getting to listen to all these programmes. There are so many fascinating people living lives I've got no experience of that could so easily go unheard, and they're such gems. I hope you think so too. Let me know on the hashtag R4Seriously. And don't forget to subscribe so you never miss an episode. I'm Rhianna Dillon, and I'll be back with another in a couple of days.